there's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
How different? I don't know. I, you know, that's a stiff claim to stand up to. Something completely different. I don't really know how different we are than all the other shows and all the other preppers and tactical sharing people out there. Man, I can't believe how many people right now are doing what we do. And are, you know, get all these really nice names. You put the word tactical in front of, behind, or in the middle of anything, you sound like an expert. So you're listening to Stronghold Tactical Radio. No, you're not. It's just Stronghold Radio, bringing you a Christian militant worldview from the little hamlet of Kauai, Camp Kauai. Now new and improved with two shooting ranges. One regular shooting range where you can stand at different measured distances out to 200 yards and shoot holes in paper, which is good. And then a tactical shooting range with about 120 degrees of shooting. We try to do 180, but it works out to about 120. Stacy went over and took some pictures of it today. We'll get those up. I was trying to link to them, but it wouldn't let me put them. I put them up on Facebook, and Lou hasn't got them up on the website yet because we don't have enough bandwidth to do it. So, but things are hopping. Things are happening. Man camp's coming down. I sent you guys flyers. If I've got your email, you got a flyer, and it's something you want to be part of. If it gets bigger, we'll have to add people. Also, stay tuned because I'm going to tell a little story about a stupid thing I did this morning, or was it last night? I can't remember if it was last night or this morning. Just to show you how human I am, I will share this with you, and maybe later you guys can call in with some stupid things you've done that are firearm related or survival gear related, or just, you know, something you did to your car that was stupid. Because I want to share with you that I am a human and that I can laugh at myself. And I'll tell a little story later about that. We're proud to announce that everything's a go for Man Camp. I've already got a couple people that have called. Twinkle Toes called in and said that her husband was going, Rocky. And Rocky, I think seriously, you should tag one of the Exeter / what's that called over there? Badger Militia Youth, one of the teenagers. What was that all about? My phone just started charging for no reason at all. Sorry about that fanfare. It doesn't mean anything special. It just means that my phone's charging. Let me turn that down a little bit there. But if you could grab one of Rabbit's kids, I think it would be good for you. You don't have – that's the thing. We said it's a father-son thing, but if you're a single male, if you're a teenager, you have to have a chaperone with you because we're going to be firing firearms. But you can do it as a single male. We've got some fathers say, but my kid's three, and it's just, you know, not appropriate at this time. Well, if I had a three-year-old son, I'd bring him along. We're looking forward to it. There's going to be a competition at the end of the day. We're going to time you using an airsoft weapon, an M4 that's very realistic. And those of you that have come here, you've seen what we have. They're like four. They're as expensive as AR-15s are normally. Well, not anymore, but you know, $400 or $500 for an airsoft. But they're good training aids. And we're going to do two man. You're going to move through a series of targets, father and son, or team up with other males and take turns shooting a single weapon, identifying, locating targets and their threats. And we'll time it, and there'll be prizes. We'll give away some survival gear, things like that. So things are really looking up. Pastor was over there today. We were early in the morning over there raking out the new range and cutting trees. I got to use the chainsaw again. I love it when the pastor lets me use the chainsaw. So we're making it easier to see over there, kind of getting the sleeping areas set up. I don't know if we're going to sleep next to Bravo Range or if we're going to go up in the hills behind. Wherever there's water, we need water. And it depends which stream is flowing, so I think it's probably going to be behind Alpha Range and the big ridge back there. I have to avoid cow pies. The cows are active. The most dangerous thing out there will be the mama cows, but that's what we got to do. There was something else I was going to say. I need some help. Those of you that are the veterans, you know, especially Army. I don't know about the Marine Corps, Air Force, or the Navy, but in the Army, we name our ranges and fields after fallen comrades. We've got two ranges now, because before it used to be, hey, I'm going out to the range. Okay, we knew what that meant. Now we've got two ranges. I don't want to just call them Alpha and Bravo. That's kind of cool and clean and precise. I would like you guys to email me or come out. Don't just put it in the chat room. I want you to put some thought into this and commitment into this. Email me at dutch@dutchjones.info, dutch@dutchjones.info, or call in at 559-346-8362. 559-3462. I want names for these ranges. We need to find patriotic names, either modern or historical. Like, I was trying to remember Randy Weaver's son's name. We could name one of the ranges after Randy Weaver's son. Of course, the pastor would have the final word on it. But if I could get from you names of fallen patriots, you know, don't give me, like, David Lane or anything like that. No white supremacist. We won't even consider it. And so what we could do is we could get that set up and we could name them and you'll get like something special. I'll send you my gratitude in a bottle or something. If I give you a high five when I see, we'll give you knuckles. We'll do knuckles if you come up with the name. But a little naming contest. We need two fallen patriots. We also located a large flat piece of granite. It's huge. It's about 9 feet tall, 15 feet wide, very thick. So not something we can move. We're going to call it Patriot Rock. And we're going to carve we're going to paint. We can't carve because it's granite. It wouldn't last very long. I said we could use that as Patriot Rock, like from Red Dawn. And we want to put like Beauregard, you know, on there, some older names of some patriots. So we'll have to do what we can do. But that's something for you. Give me a call if you can think of a fallen patriot. You know, Gordon Call, kind of a white supremacist, kind of not. But you know what I'm saying. Huh? G. Gordon Liddy, he's not dead. G. Gordon Liddy's still alive, Lou. I mean, yeah, he's a good guy, but he's not dead. So that'll be good. Okay, well, I'm going to get to the story here. And remember, I want you to be thinking of things you've done that are as dumb as this, although I think few people have done anything as stupid as what I did today, without endangering others. I don't want those kind of stories. Don't tell me you shot your nephew in the face with a bazooka or something.
On purpose.
But this is something that I did that was really stupid. Now, I've got this Walther P-22. Love this little pistol. Great pocket pistol. Really lightweight, you know, California legal, holds 10 rounds, very accurate, deadly accurate. There you go, William Cooper. I like that IC Freedom. William Cooper would be a good thing to do. But we need to make notes of this, Luke. Do you got something to write with?
Find something.
We don't have anything. Stacy, make a note of that, please. IC Freedom recommended William Cooper. Awesome idea. So I've got this Walther P-22. No, I didn't shoot Lou today. But one of the problems with it, and Stacy's had the problem, I've had the problem, there's a couple other people up here that buy them for backup. When you take it out of the holster fast, you can knock the front sight off. What they did is they came with like three or four different front sights that you can pop in, which is all nice and well, you know, to adjust for your, you know, for what your eye is like and everything. But when you pop it out, it goes flying. Well, I took one out of my holster this morning to do a chamber check. And I went, hey, I don't have a front sight. So I went to my box. I got the other one. I said, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm going to super glue it in. So I went and got the super glue. I put in a couple drops, popped this thing in, put it in my holster, and went the rest of the day. Well, when we were getting ready to do some stuff today, Stacy and I were wearing our pistol. She has a similar. It's a little different. Hers is just a different color. And I went to do a chamber check. I always chamber check if I set my pistol down to take a shower or something like I did. And then I go to put it in. I went to chamber check it, and it wouldn't move. I couldn't get the chamber to go back. I was like, wow, this is really weird. I'm yanking on it. I couldn't get it to work. So I took it outside, turned the safety off, and fired it into the ditch. And it jammed. And I'm like, this is weird. And then I went to pull it back, and it just wouldn't. It was like, it wouldn't go forward into battery. I could pull it back, and it would stay all the way back. It wouldn't slide forward without the slide lock on. So I was like, oh, great, what happened? And then I remembered. I put a couple drops of super glue in this front recess in the upper slide without thinking, what if that's just a hole and it goes all the way through? And it did. If you take apart the upper slide, there's a little hole in there. So I put glue, super glue on the inside of my pistol that I carry for protection. And it messed it all up. So we were printing the flyers up for man camp and everything. So I took it out and I said, Stacy, you've got the only pistol. You're in charge. So I took it home, took it apart, and I had to clean it with solvent and get all the super glue. You'd be surprised. 2 or 3 drops of super glue just went all inside my gun, in my handgun here. There's a little slide release on the lower receiver so that you can pull the upper slide all the way back and get it off. It was just super glued. I super glued my pistol shut. This is just amazing to me that I did that, and I'm sharing it with you because sometimes we attempt to do things in a field expedient manner that we think is really cool. And this points out 2 things. 1, I don't know my pistol well enough now. And 2, I got in a hurry. If you've got a story like that, if you've ever done anything like that, and I've done other things like this. I've field stripped weapons and forgot to put the firing pin in. Never in a combat situation, just in, messing with stuff at home. Boy, I see freedoms coming up with other names. Eustace Clarence Mullen Jr., he died in 2010. We'll have to write that one downstairs. And we're going to present these to the range committee, which means me and the pastor. Maybe a couple other people up here, and we'll see. I still like William Cooper. Oop, just banged my weapon against the microphone stand. Sorry, all the people down the line. But if you've done something like that, it does sound like a college prank, super gluing somebody's pistol shut. Now, I mean, in a major situation, I could have made it function, but just stupidity. So I walked around for like 5 hours today with a super glued pistol. Good thing the mountain lions are I would have got 1 shot off, and that's all I need because I'm dead eye. No. When we were weed eating this morning, we didn't see any rattlesnakes or anything. But it was a good opportunity to take apart the weapon and grease it thoroughly and, slab pig fat in it in case I have to shoot a Muslim or something. But just a key thing. So if you've got something like that, I want to hear about it. 559-346-8362. Not an urban legend. Not, I've had 3 errant discharges that come to mind and stupid things. But, super gluing your gun is good. Another thing, I'm trying to think. One time when I was about 12 years old, we're plugging jackrabbits for this wheat farmer, like late at night, spotlighting them, me and my dad and my uncle. And there was this jackrabbit that I spun around, and I went to go get it because we'd take him, and we got paid by the jackrabbit. And then he'd use them to feed to his pigs, his dogs, whatever. So we'd pelt them out and use the pelts for stuff. There's always a reason to keep the jackrabbit. So I shot this one out in the field. My dad tells me to run out there and get it. And I went out there to get it, and the jackrabbit attacked me. Grabbed onto my pant leg and wouldn't let go. So I took my, it was a Marlin semi-automatic tube fed, and I just smashed this rabbit to death rather than shoot it. And I broke the stock right off my gun, right off my rifle. And my dad and my uncle are laughing because I was screaming like a little girl with this rabbit's biting me on the leg. It didn't actually get any skin. It just grabbed onto my pant leg. So I did that, and I handed it up. It was funny because I go, I'll show you guys. And I took the wooden portion of the stock. Took it into shop, and my old shop teacher, Mr. O'Brien, in middle school or whatever grade I was in, showed me how to drill it out, pin it, and glue it, and you never noticed it was broken, but I never lived that down. To this day, whenever I call my father and we start talking about hunting, he's like, hey, remember that time that rabbit attacked you? And it was about, President Jimmy Carter, he got attacked by a rabbit in a boat, and he told that story about how he had to smack it with an oar. Everybody said, well, you and Jimmy Carter got something in common now, so I've done that kind of stuff. I've done some ridiculous things. I could do a whole show on just some of the stupid stuff I've done, but I want to hear about it if you've done anything like that. Moving on, people are calling about. I have asked the pastor's asked me to ask you to find and locate 2 families to move onto the property that are willing to be part of what we're doing here. One is to be a handy person, a handyman, a person who could be around, 24 hours a day to help do security. You can leave once in a while things like that. But we need somebody who can be an electrician, a plumber, somebody who's got like a disability income or a retirement income or, makes their living, whittling little rabbits and stuff and selling them. But we're looking for somebody like that. I put out 2 ads, one on FreeCycle. If you guys don't know what FreeCycle is, come over here. Can you check that other phone, Lou? We can't put that on the air, so we need to know who that is. If someone's calling the hard line, you're wrong. Answer it, Lou. Hurry up. But we need somebody to do that kind of stuff. And all you're going to get is great fellowship, free rent. You're going to be able to participate in our militia training, our survival training, be part of something good here. It's not something you just show up and go, okay, you're hired. Who was that?
Rocky.
Rocky, I just gave the phone number out like four times. I know who's going to be digging latrines during man camp now.
Call from 5593.
Yeah, turn that off before it gives out your phone number. Are you there?
Hey, this is Rocky.
Yeah, you keep calling the wrong number. That number doesn't go on the air anymore. It sounds terrible.
I know. I got to change it. You know what? You're lucky that wasn't the Monty Python bunny.
That's true. This was a vicious rabbit, but not that vicious. And he wasn't white. He was a big Great Plains jackrabbit.
Yeah, that wasn't a jackrabbit, that was a jackalope. The one with the antlers.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
He wasn't armed.
Yeah, armor two buck teeth, that's what it was.
So have you ever done anything to any of your weapons where you've disassembled it and put it together wrong and didn't realize it till later?
I did with a 30-30 Winchester. It wasn't a Winchester, it was a
Marlin?
CS, a custom special.
Okay.
And I still have it, too. And I was dumb and young. I thought, well, I'll field strip this. I can do anything. I'll quit it because these are hard to quit. I'll show everybody I can do it. Mm-hmm. Well, I got up to the range and I found out it wouldn't fire after I put it back together. And so it's missing a part somewhere.
Yeah.
I lost something. It's all really complicated. So Rocky's advice today, know what you're doing when you take one of those apart.
Yeah, just field strip. Don't go beyond field strip. That's what it says for my pistol. It's funny. It's just these are the basic components you need to go down to. Don't do anything else. Just the three, just the upper receiver, lower receiver, and the guide spring and rod. Don't take
exactly.
Any. And I can tell you, as a kid, I've done that. I took apart a pistol one time, and I had to go. My dad just tore into me because we had to drive like 30 miles to a gunsmith to get it put back together again. Because he goes, I told you not to take those out. So it's. But it's tough. Sometimes you think, you know, as a man, a big dumb male, yeah, I can do that. I can field strip that carburetor. I can take that apart. I remember one time, I think I was 7, I got my first rifle scope, put it on a single shot coast to coast 22, single shot 22, and I took the rear eyepiece off to look down at it to see what was there, and I could see the crosshairs in there. So I put my little pinky in there to see what they felt like, and I broke them out. And I didn't want to tell my dad because I had just got the scope for like $15 or something. So what I did is I took some black electrical tape and I put a dot on the back scope. So I learned how to use it that way. And one day my uncle grabbed to shoot a coyote or something. He's like, what the heck is wrong with your scope? But I was like 7 or 8 when I did that. But, you know, that I a little gimme. But as an adult, we sure do a lot of stupid things.
Adventures in gunsmithing.
Yes, yeah.
You successfully turned that little 22 pistol into a hand hammer for a while.
There you go. Yeah, that's what my dad said. He goes, you just made it into a hammer if we can't get these parts. Because go ahead.
I see some posted on Facebook. We put one up and you put one up, and both of them really disgust me, especially about all the illegals saying that all the gringos are illegals and we all have to leave.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Mecha people and all those folks still laying claim to the American Southwest when the Mexican people never had it. They never belonged to them. It was Spain. It was Indian tribes. Mexican people never had a legitimate claim on this area. And they want it. And what are they going to – and then the whole thing is, what are they going to do with it? They're going to make it like Mexico. So it's a moot argument from the very beginning. You know,
it's already like Mexico up there. Remember that one article you were talking about last week about that guy that did the survey?
Yeah.
Because I go into places like that and I see it. You see the farm worker vans with the little orange totes on the front for the water or whatever, and they're picking up people from track houses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's all run down and crummy.
Yeah.
Like Fireball's one of the places he mentions that we go through Fireball. And I seen it. The other post I put up there too. I got the article right here, and I was going to read it off real fast. Did you hear about this? Obama takes fax presidential signature into a different realm.
Oh, yeah, the auto pen.
It's called the auto pen.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, this is what it says. It's the open secret that nobody in government wants to talk about. The church presidential signature that's tucked away in a scrapbook or framed for all to see might never have passed under the president's hand. What it is, it's this machine and they put a pin in it, in the wall holder, and it copies his signature. Now, apparently, the Patriot Act, the latest version he did, that he signed, it was signed by this. That would make it illegal.
Well, yeah, and then when he came home, he refused to re-sign it. He said he didn't need to.
What's that?
When he got back inside America, he was told he may need to re-sign it, and he didn't.
Exactly. And apparently one of the congressmen from Georgia, well, this article's a little different than the ones out there, he's questioning it. Yeah, Ronald Reagan did it. Says Ronald Reagan had 22 different signature templates, including Ron Dutch. Hey, you can be on there, too.
Yeah, I know. I saw that in the article. Are you there? Did we lose you? I think it sounds like we lost Rocky. Probably swerving out there on the highways, screaming into his cell phone, just ran over a Volkswagen full of illegal aliens. You're going to have to call back in. He's probably still talking. I realize. Hopefully they're parked when they're listening to me. They're probably at some truck stop of America. We're waiting for it to ring again here. But, yeah, that article about the auto pen was infuriating, that he didn't even have the decency to write, to use his actual hand to continue the fascism. And the socialism, communism, the big scummunism, as our friend Warland would say. Is Warland in there? I haven't been in the chat room. Let me take a look. I don't know who's all here, but we've got a small group today. Sammy Weaver. Thank you, Stacy. Make sure you write these down somewhere, Stacy, so we can name our range. We're trying to name our ranges. We want to name after fallen patriots. We got one standard range, one brand new range. And it was okay when we just had one range to call it the range, but now that we got two, we'd like to give him a name. So Sammy Weaver Field, Sammy Weaver Shooting Emporium. There's something, you know, we can play with the alliteration there. No, he's not. No, he's not what? I don't know what you're saying. No, he's not what? I'm not sure what you're saying, Stace. I'm all confused. I'm getting like a delay in the conversation there. Okay, folks, let me, I've got some articles here we can talk about in this hour. Oh, those of you that are lining up to listen to Steve Klein, I got a call yesterday and an email confirming he's speaking somewhere at the same time that he has to be on the air, so there will be no Steve Klein this afternoon. So we're just going to do probably an hour today of what we can do here and make things relevant. I don't want to stretch it 2 hours and just bore you. And one, we can't use up the bandwidth because we can't afford to pay for it anymore. We're probably going to have to go to the $32 a month limited bandwidth plan because eventually they're going to tell us, hey, you haven't made your payment this month. So if we're over, then they're not going to let us do it. So here's something interesting. I don't know if any of you have been in Gay Bay lately, but they're doing this huge San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge project. they're going to be putting up these giant spans, steel modules that they're getting. That are coming in. Oh, here we go. Let's see what he's got. What's that? Oh, no, he's not calling back. That's okay. He probably just lost connection. But they're building these huge bridges over there in the Gay Bay. Well, here's something funny. Bridge comes to San Francisco with a Made in China label. Great big huge slap in the face. Major infrastructure rebuild, and they're buying the components from China. At a sprawling manufacturing complex here, hundreds of Chinese laborers are now completing work on the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge. Next month, the last four of more than two dozen giant steel modules, each with a roadbed segment about half the size of a football field, will be loaded onto a huge ship and transported 6,500 miles to Oakland. There, they will be assembled to fit the eastern span of the new Bay Bridge. The project is part of China's continual move up the global economic value chain from a cheap toys to Apple iPads to commercial jetliners as it aims to become the world's leading civil engineering country. This is just insane that we would even allow Chinese to work on our roads. The assembly work in California and the pouring of the concrete road service will be done by Americans, but construction of the bridge decks and the materials that went into that are made in China. California officials say the state saved hundreds of millions of dollars by turning to China. They've produced a pretty impressive bridge for us, says Tony Anzanio, trader, a program manager for the California Department of Transportation, group of traders, said a few weeks ago. He was touring the 1.2 square mile manufacturing site that the Chinese company created to do the bridge work 4 years ago. There were just steel plates here and lots of orange groves. On the reputation of showcase projects like Beijing's Olympic-size airport, and the Mammoth Hydroelectric Three Gorges Dam, Chinese companies have been hired to build copper mines in the Congo, high-speed rail lines in Brazil, and huge apartment complexes in Saudi Arabia. How much you want to bet they're going to build that bullet train in California that's the big boondoggle now that those of you not in California probably don't know anything about, but they want to go from Los Angeles to, like, Sacramento in 4 minutes, and they're seizing land. It's ridiculous. In New York City alone, Chinese companies have won contracts to help renovate the subway system, refurbish the Alexander Hamilton Bridge over the Harlem River, and build a new Metro North train platform near Yankee Stadium. As with the Bay Bridge, American Union labor would carry out most of the work done on United States soil. Notice I say most, but they're going to bring Chinese people over here to put it together. American steelworker unions are disparaged by the Bay Bridge contract by accusing the state of California of sending good jobs overseas and settling for what they deride as poor quality Chinese steel. Industry groups in the United States and other countries have raised questions about the safety and quality of Chinese workmanship on such projects. Yeah, their track record stinks. They kill our dogs. They send poison drywall over here. What's their bridge going to be like? Indeed, China has had quality control problems ranging from tainted milk to poorly built schools. But executives and officials who have awarded the various Chinese contracts say their audits have convinced them of the project's engineering integrity. Kickbacks. And they note that with the full financial force of the Chinese government behind its infrastructure, the monumental scale of the work and the price bid are hard for private industry elsewhere to beat because they're using slave labor. They're using slave labor. The new Bay Bridge, expected to open to traffic in 2013 and then immediately collapse, will replace a structure that has never been quite the same since the 1989 Bay Area earthquake. At $7.2 billion, it will be one of the most expensive structures ever built. But California officials estimate that they will save at least $400 million by having so much of the work done in China by slaves. California issued bonds to finance this project and will look to recoup the cost through tolls. Now, we're going to get ready for a break here, but this is just another example of the infiltration of Chinese people here. We've heard the stories about them popping up in Idaho. We've heard the stories of them popping up in these federal trade zones, these FTZs. Here we go. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. If you like what you hear, go to dutchjones.info and make a donation. We may not be here tomorrow.
Seems as fast as we can make it, there's a hand that grabs and takes it till they plant us in a grave somewhere. Like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured servitudinal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is we're all saps who pay our taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. Could the state of our condition be the product of omission, what we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured servitudinal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some humanistic crumb. Will the naked truth and fact is we're all saps who pay those taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. While Franklin and Eleanor were telling us they hated war, they made a deal behind our backs. They said the bankers could enslave us for a portion of our wages, and today we call it income tax. But what
they failed them to tell us was the way they planned to sell us into statutory slavery. Now it's called constructive fraud. Some even claim the wrath of God. I call it social insecurity. Let's stop being indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, and reclaim our lost posterity. Rise up and proclaim liberty. It's high time we rock the boat and make some waves, 'cause as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb. They'll starve us on their communistic crumb. And the naked truth and fact is, we don't have to pay those taxes. Yes, it's time we show those banksters, those international gangsters. So let's turn the tables and spoil all their fun.
That's all.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. I googled people killed by the New World Order and I got a bunch of stuff. So maybe we could come up with some names that way. Folks, you're listening to Stronghold Radio. We're coming to you from Cahuilla, California, Central California, that's right. Behind enemy lines in the Socialist People's Republic of Occupied Territory. I don't know who's occupying it, it's a little bit of everybody. Communist, socialist, illegal alien invaders, the Chinese building our bridges, communist government officials, sodomites. But we're here fighting the good fight, giving you the Christian militant worldview. We're slightly separatist. We're in our little stronghold here of Camp Cahuilla, looking for people to join us. We're looking for families. We're looking for specifically a handyman who's a Christian who can come here and help us build and repair and do those kind of things in exchange for a place to live and people to fellowship with. Contact me if you're interested. Let's see here. We're also having a contest. We just finished 90% of our new range, and rather than calling it Bravo Range, we want to find a name for it. Maybe come up with a name for or a name of someone in history who's been destroyed by the New World Order, murdered, killed by the libtards. You know, maybe somebody who made a stand and got squished. And we're not looking for any white supremacists or anything ridiculous like that. We don't roll that way here. That ain't our bag of things. But if you've got a name, suggest it. Give me a call, 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362, that or anything else you want to talk about. Hey, what's going on in Greece? I only get radio news here. And because we can't afford that box with the pictures that talks. We just got the little box with the voice. So we've been listening to violence, lots of people dead. They want to, in order for Greece to get a bailout from the New World Order banks, they have to cut off all of their socialist things and make college students go back to work. And everybody's violent and fighting in the streets. A general strike has disrupted services across Greece, and a riot erupted once more outside Parliament Tuesday as demonstrators protested more taxes and spending cuts essential for the country to receive critical bailout funds that will prevent a potential disastrous, I would say fatal, default. Greece will cease to exist. Inside Parliament, lawmakers debated new austerity measures. I love when they come up with these words, austerity. We're going to be more austere. Why don't they just say cut to the bone measures? Or cost-cutting, or You know, no more welfare measures, which must be passed Wednesday and Thursday if Greece's international creditors, read the New World banksters, the Zionist banksters, are to release the next Euro 12 billion batch of the country's Euro 110 billion bailout and prevent a default that could drag down European banks and shake the European and world economy. So, you know, Greece is kind of like the Keystone right here. You pull that out, the whole thing falls apart. But the measures, which include spending cuts and tax hikes on even those on minimum wages, have caused widespread outrage. Yeah. Just, I hope America's watching this. Unions embarked on a two-day general strike Tuesday, halting nearly all public transport, forcing airlines to reschedule or cancel dozens of flights, and bringing public schools to a standstill. Look at everybody who sucks at the teat of government largesse in Greece. It's the same thing here. It's no different. In fact, there's even more here. A peaceful protest by about 20,000 people quickly degenerated into violence, with riot police firing volley after volley of tear gas and stun grenades to keep back hooded youths, pelting them with thousands of chunks of ripped-up paving stones and marble chipped from building facades and steps. Police said 37 policemen were injured during Tuesday's riot, while 14 protesters were arrested. Emergency services said 9 protesters were injured. Greece is no stranger to violent demonstrations or strikes, and they are not expected to derail the parliamentary vote, but they have added to an atmosphere of deep dissatisfaction. Deep dissatisfaction. The peasants are rioting in the streets because you're taking away their benefits. This is what happens when you spoil your children or spoil a population. Just imagine all the liberals in America when there's no more money. Imagine all the inner city gangs when there's no more food stamps to go get gin and juice. Huh? Are you following me, America? Even some deputies within Prime Minister George Papandreou's governing socialists have voiced dissatisfaction with the measures, of two, with two of them indicating they might not vote in favor. However, the socialists, isn't that funny, it's always them, hold a 5-seat majority in the 300-member parliament, and the bill should muster the simple majority of 151 to pass the vote. European officials have been pressuring Greece's main conservative opposition party to back the austerity bill, but so far their urgings have failed to convince Conservative Party leaders and Antanas Samaras. Isn't that funny? It's the conservatives that don't want to cut the benefits. I trust that the Greek political leaders are fully aware of the responsibility that lies on their shoulders to avoid default, European Monetary Affairs Commissioner Olli Rehn said. In addition to seeking the next batch of bailout funds, Greece looks like it will need further financial rescue. Papandreou has said a second bailout would be roughly the same size as the first, and hopefully to be on better terms. So what they're going to do is they're going to put fake blood, because it's all just printed euros, it's the same as here in America, into a dying person. They're going to give good blood to a dying person, even though it's fake, synthetic blood, to leave Greece alive a little bit longer, because they're afraid that if that body dies, it's just going to ripple through Spain, Portugal, Ireland. I think Iceland. Was it Iceland or Greenland? I can't remember. I always get those two confused. You know, when I see them at a party, Greenland or Iceland, I always get them confused. When I, you know, they walk in the door at different times. You see them by the bar. You see them eating nachos or something. Is that Greenland or Iceland? Yeah, I just call them Greenland. Yeah, Greenland has the ice. Iceland has the green. I don't know. But, you know, I never recognize them at parties. Heat miser. And you go all the way to the bottom of this article. Even with the new austerity measures and a second bailout, many investors still think Greece is heading for some sort of default. Overall, the $340 billion debt burden is too great. Too big not to fail, right, folks? Let me close this. Let me go over here. And it's amazing, because what we're seeing in these little countries are exactly what they're – those are the petri dishes. Those are like when you do an experiment in high school, you do it on a smaller level. They're experimenting with those socially, economically, militarily, politically, to see what's going to happen in America. Greek citizens will not be sold out to internationalists. When you empower the government to give you what you want, the same government is then empowered to take all you have. That's right. IC Freedom said that. I got like stickers stuck in my T-shirt here. I'm going to pull it out. They're irritating me. So what's happening in Greece, we need to watch. We desperately need to watch it, America, because as you see, you know, the birthplace of democracy, you know, that failed system, which is actually socialism, going on there, and you see the manipulation by the Euro banks, It's the same thing that's going to happen here. California is going to be next. I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to other states, but California is facing that. They just approved our budget today, and it's like, it was weird. It was like $7 billion short. They still didn't do a balanced budget, and they're counting on increased revenues because the economy's going to boost. That's like me saying, honey, can I go out and buy a big screen TV because I think next month I might get a job? Yeah, I really have this positive feeling that next month I'm going to find a $25 an hour job that's 40 hours a week. Can I please go buy a big screen? And Stacy looks at me and says, you know what? I think that's positive thinking. That's having faith in the system. No, it's stupid. They're going to get about 3 months out, and they're going to realize the economy's not going to get any better, and California's going to go, Washington, D.C., yeah, how are you doing? Yeah, we're 11 to 14 billion short on our budget this year, and we went out and bought this big screen TV, and we've got like a big balloon payment coming, and we don't want to have to get, they won't take the TV back, but they said instead of just taking the TV back, they're going to come and take everything. So could you loan us like 11 to 14 billion? And you know what happens? The rest of the country's going to go, oh, they're too big to fail. We have to give them the money. Same thing that's going on in Greece. And, you know, and then they're going to say, wait a minute, we're not going to give you the money unless, California, one, you get rid of that big screen TV, you sell it, and you get rid of your three or four cars, and you only get down to one, and what they're going to do is they're going to tell California, cut your welfare rolls, cut your benefits to illegal aliens going to college, trim some fat. They won't say specifically, but they say, you've got to trim some fat. You've got to raise your taxes. There's no new taxes in this. There's no extension of taxes in this new budget, but that's what the libtards wanted. They wanted people to agree to pay more for their vehicle registration, their permits and fees, all that kind of stuff. So what they're going to do is they're going to try and generate these funds through penalties and fines. They're not going to draw business here. It's already the least friendly place in the nation to do business. We have the highest business taxes in the nation, as far as I know. And California is doing the same thing Greece did. I would honestly say we're a year to a year and a half behind Greece, the state of California. And we are a way bigger economy, which means, no, it's not going to be easier to save us. We're going to fall a lot harder. We've got a lot more people here. What is there? I'm going to guess here. I think there's 40 million people in California. Somebody help me out with that. But if you figure half of them are dependent on government jobs, government payouts, government benefits. I get a lot of people say they can do whatever they want, but don't touch my pension. Don't touch my benefits. Well, we're all in this boat together. I was talking to Mikey today, and he's getting ready for Social Security. He's old enough to retire. I'm a VA Benny person. If it disappears tomorrow, we'll find a way to make it. I may die a little sooner because I won't have meds, but hey, put it in the hands of God, and I'll find another way to treat my diabetes. So, we're all going to be facing a hard time. We're headed for a new dark ages, folks. But they'll rename it. It's a gray zone. It's because they won't even call it a depression. 30% unemployment. You know, I was looking at the numbers, man. African-American youth, 42% unemployment among African-American youths. And you don't tell me that that's not going to put a huge burden on other things. And I'm not being racist and stuff. When I'm telling you the truth, these inner cities are going to see a crime spree like you've never imagined. The illegal aliens have come in and taken the jobs even away from the inner city black youths. And they're going to retaliate the only way they know how, the only way their culture allows it. So if you think we're insulated here in America, you're sniffing glue. You might as well be sniffing glue because you're just as delusional as the guy who sniffs or huffs glue or paint. They're setting us up for a fall, folks. A huge one. Economically, and the more you depend on check to paycheck of cash, yikes. And I pray for the people that have gotten to the point, either by their own fault or no fault of their own. I have a little more sympathy for people that it's just societal the way that it's done. That they've got to find a way out. And it's never so desperate that you can't get out. It's like the pastor was saying last Thursday, if all you can do is buy 3 cans of beans a week, do it. All you can do is make sure your vehicle is fast and ready to get out of Dodge, do it. But if you're smart enough and have the wherewithal, you can do what you got to do up here. You can find – I'm not the only guy out there calling and reaching out to like-minded folks. I just said at the beginning of the show, there are thousands of groups out there. Thousands and thousands. Now, some may be scams. You know, you got to be diligent. I had five phone calls today, people wanting to be a handyman here. All sounded like good people. Well, three phone calls, two emails. And they all seemed like good people. And what I told them, I said, just come to church here. Come to church, you know, this Sunday for our special service, our Independence Day service, and see if you fit in, see if you like us. It's a courtship. You're not just going to show up here and go, oh, I'm moving in. We've done that, and it didn't work. We've had to have people move on because, you know, once you get to know them, you realize they're not really pulling in the same direction, and that's fine. That's God's way. They came here for a season. They got what they needed, and, you know, hopefully it'll stick, and they'll move on. But we've got to make sure that people that you hook up with are that you can do the three-day in a Winnebago thing with, the test that I talk about. Are you willing to bleed, laugh, and cry with them and then start all over again the next day, or are you going to be going, man, I don't want to do that again? My Sunday school lesson last Sunday was talking about, you know, agape love. And the true purpose of what we do is to love people and to reach out to them and not throw anybody away. And that's what we're talking about, making sure that you can actually spend time with them. Because you can love somebody without liking them, but you can't really live with somebody without liking them, huh? So as Christians, we have a higher standard that we're held to, but that doesn't mean that we just have to let everybody in and cohabitate and hang out with everybody and work with everybody. No. So I think – was that you?
What? No.
No, you're the only other guy in here, man.
You.
Oh, man. Lou doesn't get any dinner. He's going straight to bed. Oh, it didn't come in the window. It's making my screen melt. You're a bad little boy. You're a bad little boy. I forgot where I was. I can't see now. My eyes are melting. Oh. You're going on an all-fiber diet. Okay, folks. Back on the topic.
I think it's outside.
Man, I think we need it. We should...
That's not me.
Yeah, I think I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. I like that quote from Airplane. Or is it Airplane or Police Squad? I don't know. But folks, now's the time to actually start doing more than just baby steps. That time's over. You need to make some leaps of faith and find some folks to team up with. You need to spend at least 2 hours a day, if not just writing out your plans, actually putting action to them. And doing what needs to be done to get you where you need to be. That's why we're doing the trainings here. I'm getting people that, you know, wow, I can't believe you guys are doing cert training. I'm getting all kinds of comments on Facebook and everything, and I think it's great. I wish my church would do that. Well, if your church isn't doing it, maybe you're the one that needs to approach your pastor or your leadership and say, look, we need to be doing this. Everybody wants somebody else to do it. Oh, I wish we were doing that. Well, you know what? I've never been one of those people that said, oh, I wish I could be a radio announcer. I wish I could be a fireman. I wish I could be a cop. It's always been, hey, that looks interesting. I'm going to do something to make it happen. Now, maybe that's a curse. Maybe that's a gift. But that's the kind of person I've always been. It's kind of like, I call it the Mickey Rooney effect. Remember those old Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland movies? Hey, let's put on a show. They didn't go, oh, we can't put on a show. They went, hey, there's a barn. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's kind of like our gang. They, you know, they build a stage. Gilligan Island effect. All they had was coconuts and bamboo, and look at everything they did. You've got to stop worrying about what you don't have and start working with what you do have and optimizing it. And I really think it's one of those, if we build it, they will come. And that's what we're doing here at the Church at Cahuilla. We build the structure. I train the managers here. If you look at our pictures on Facebook, if you look up Dutch Jones, D-U-T-C-H-J-O-E-N-S on Facebook, and you become a friend, you can look at my pictures, but only if you're my friend. And I think we're like over 900 friends now on there. 9,000. Yeah, can you imagine we had 9,000? Who do you think I am?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, yeah. Bill Gates. Bear Grylls. But you could take a look at the pictures, and you could see the training we're doing. People are going, hey, but there's a bunch of old folks in there. Yeah, I know that. They're going to be the ones that are going to be in charge. They're going to tell your young, skinny butt what to do because they took the time to train now to learn the skills and to learn how to figure out how to make this stuff work. Oh, somebody's coming in with the hooch. Ruger is in the house. Does he have anything to say? No, he doesn't. So be motivated. And if it takes me kicking you in the butt through the radio, use that. Because I don't know any other way to motivate people. I have trouble motivating people around here sometimes. But a lot of them are coming to me now saying, well, what do I need to do? I've been saying the same thing every Sunday. You know, when you sit in fellowship with us and you see what we're doing, and the, you know, and I'm not there yet. I'm not. I'll never be 100% because I just don't have all the resources I need. But I do use what I have 100%. And we make sure, you know, when I'm not super gluing my pistol shut, I'm trying to optimize all my gear so that it'll last. It'll be there when I need it. And if all you've got is a survival vest, a tank full of gas, a map, and a compass, you got a lot more than what millions and millions of Americans will have when this thing goes off. We talked a little bit yesterday about an EMP possibility from North Korea. Doesn't have to be the New World Order. It could just be an aggressor against the U.S. You want to be standing in a city full of zombies when this goes off, or do you want to be heading north to the mountains or out to your family's ranch? Stop sitting on your hands. Stop waiting for somebody else to do it. And make certain that you understand that it's up to you and you alone. But if you get four or five people together that realize that, just think what you can do. It'll be amazing. We're looking forward to our man camp up here. We're looking forward to our Old Paths conference. Again, I have to mention that the man camp is not just for father and sons. If you're a male, you can borrow a teenage male from a nephew, a cousin, a younger brother. We're just trying to instill in the youth this sense of urgency and desire and duty. I just got an email from somebody who says, well, I don't have a kid. I can't do it when I was on the break. I said, as a joke, I said, well, go rent an illegal alien kid for like a day. But don't do that. Don't bring an illegal alien here. You don't want to do that. But do what you can do with the resources you have. Some of the things we're going to focus on in the next few days and weeks, if we're allowed to stay on the air, if it's up to the Lord to work on people's hearts to make the donation so we can pay the internet bill. But we'll be talking more about water purification, shelter structures, escape and evasion. I'm going to go back to the basics and just go through that again. Because even if you've heard it before, even if you're, you know, a 17-year special forces veteran, you know, you did 9 tours in Iraq or whatever, it's good to hear it again, because you may hear it the third or fourth time and go, hey, wait a minute, I didn't think about that, and that's a hole in my plan. Because that's what happens to me. I can learn something from every instructor I go to, no matter what they're, even if it's the first time they've ever done it, I can watch them, and even if it's negative training, I'll learn something from them. So that's what we're going to be doing here on the radio show, and as long as I feel that the Lord is still pushing me to reach out to you guys, I'll do it if I can. But I need some feedback, too. You guys, you know, you guys got to tell me some of the things you're doing. If you've got ideas on different ways to do things, send me an email if you don't want to call in. If you're too afraid to go on the air, that's fine. Not everybody is cursed with my desire to be heard like I am. But if you've got some little ideas, send me the stuff. You guys know the email. It's DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com, DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com, or Dutch@DutchJones.info. Right, Lou? Dutch@DutchJones.info. And the other thing you got to be doing, we did it yesterday, and I want to talk about this as we go off. We went to the grandparents' house. We went to the in-laws. We showed them the movie Urban Danger, and they just didn't even seem to be moved by it. And if you haven't seen it, you got to Google Urban Danger. Go to the site. You can watch it for free online. We handed them out, we sold copies for $3 each to pay for the copying fee, but we basically gave them away. In church. If you make a $25 donation, we'll send you one. Right, Lou? Can you remember to do that? We'll send you one, and it's the first 20 minutes is using the Great Depression, eyewitnesses to the Great Depression, and telling you what's happening.
It was really good. I suggest you get
it. Stacy loved it. I've watched it 3 times. Then the next hour and 40 minutes of it, maybe 50 minutes, I think it's just over 2 hours long, is different strategies that people have, you know, who started in the 80s, people who started last week, who saw the light. It's Christian-based. Some of them are end times types, dispensationalists, things like that. But it shows people using what resources they have. Some things are great big farms with 5 families. One, I love the bachelor guy. He just wanted a little house. One's this great black family from inner city New York, and they went up and just grew alfalfa. Up somewhere in Idaho, Montana, I don't know where it was. I couldn't keep track of where all the, because it was Colorado, Oklahoma, Idaho, Montana, West Virginia, Tennessee. California. We got to find out which one was California. We got to contact those folks. I wish there was a way of figuring it out. But this movie, Urban Danger, showed that people who got it, that realized, hey, I'm not going to be able to go buy a burrito anymore. I'm not going to be able to hook up my my Game Boy and, you know, charge it anymore. And whole families. One was a single mom with two daughters. And I don't know if she had good alimony or what, but she had a beautiful survival cabin. The kids were working, and these families were happy. The kids were happy splitting wood. The kids were happy growing their own food. The kids were happy playing in the creek. Kids were out in, you know, a foot of snow, chasing the dog around. And, you know, real Spartan to luxurious. You know, if you've got a big nest egg, fine. But this movie, Urban Danger, is something you need to look for. If you make a $25 donation to the Dutch Jones Show, we will send you a copy of it. You can duplicate it and hand it out. That's what they want people to do. People need to see this. And then Lou's going to be putting together, what's the second video? America's Cities, from the same producers. And once we view that, I haven't given it my thumbs up yet because I haven't seen it, but Lou just downloaded it. He has to edit it all together. He got it in chunks off of YouTube. America's Cities. And it's highly recommended by the same people, so we're going to watch it.
And plus, you guys will be helping us out.
You'll be helping us out. Plus, it's a good tool to sit your family down and go, look, you don't listen to me. Look at this. Look at these five or six families. That one guy is a U.S. congressman. A congressman who says, you know, look, you people have got to wake up. This isn't anything I'm specially privy to. Like one of the facts in the movie. The electrical grid in this country has about 6 to 9 critical locations that if they are hit by terrorists, we lose all electricity across the grid, and they can't start it back up. They can't do what's called a black start. They need electricity to start these. And he goes, and if I know it, the terrorists know it. He goes, and this isn't some secret national security thing. This was done in public briefings. Our addiction to electricity is handled very well in this movie, Urban Danger. I've never been addicted to electricity. It's a nice luxury, like I say, you know, but you've got to learn to function without it. And you've got to wake up your people and your family. And I know it's hard. We've got people that ignore me. My father built his survival cabin before he even knew I was into this. We hadn't talked to each other in about 15 years. I reestablished contact with him, and he's living in a modified chicken coop up in Idaho, and he's hunting and growing and doing everything he has to do. I kind of know where I get it from. Good stepfather taught me these things. So, folks, we're ending this here with just 1 hour. We can only do 1 hour a day now. We don't have the bandwidth. I don't know why they haven't turned us off yet. I consider it a blessing that they haven't canceled our internet. We haven't paid it. We don't have the facilities or the money to pay it. So, folks, keep doing what you're doing, but double your efforts in everything you do. I don't know how much time we have. I wish I did. But make sure that you keep listening to this and other voices that know what's going on. Scotty just popped in and said someone cut his antenna. Sounds like the CB wars are still alive and well. Well, Scotty, I'm sorry you missed it. It'll replay in just a few minutes after Lou sets it up. You can replay it. I think it was a really good show. Nothing earth-shattering, but some good comments. A good call from Rocky calling in. Funny story about me super gluing my pistol shut. I can't believe nobody else called in. I don't feel like a schmuck. I do what I got to do. So, folks, you've been listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Camp Kahwea, Central California, outside the southern gates of Sequoia National Park, heavily behind enemy lines, fighting the good fight. We are a Christian militia-minded group, and we're calling out to folks that are in California or are willing to come to California and work with us. We have two homes now. Well, one home is vacant. One will soon be vacant when the person moves on. And we've got space for you if you're willing to fellowship and work for the holy cause of liberty. Thank you for tuning in. I am Dutch Jones, but more importantly, this is Stronghold Radio. God bless you in all you do in the holy cause of liberty. Until tomorrow, good night.